your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, good day. This is a wonderful day because I have with me a friend and a Reiki Master colleague from Chile, Luz Diaz, as I know her, but those of you who are looking at the e-card will see that she has many names, a wonderful, wonderful honoring of her family, her mother's name and her father's name, and all the names in between. Welcome to the show, Luz.
Thank you, Phyllis. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, and I'm just, it's just wonderful for me because one of the things that I love doing is sort of making these energetic connections with the different parts of the world with this radio show, and you're one of the first people from the Southern Hemisphere, although we're going to have a couple more Australians on the show later on, and also that South America is, well, our attention often goes to Europe, and, you know, it's nice to turn a 90-degree angle and look south. So, welcome to bringing in the southern exposure. I had a very interesting history with South America. For many, many years, I refused to go to South America and Mexico, and Luz was a part of the brainstorming and encouragement committee to have me come to South America eventually. And there I met just wonderful people, and I couldn't figure out why I had ever had resistance to going to South America, but I did. And but Reiki came to South America, thank goodness, long before I did. And Luz was in one of the first classes in South America. Can you talk about that and how you got connected with Reiki?
Sure, of course, with pleasure. The thing was that there were several of us looking for something energetic, healing, that will satisfy sort of a hunger inside. And one of our group went to Europe and discovered Reiki and connected with a group of Reiki people in Germany. And from this contact, we made an invitation to for Jürgen Drescher, who came in 1987 to Chile for the first time. And as far as we know, it was the first Reiki class in South America. So it was a combination of synchronicity and, you know, something that we were looking for. And all of a sudden, the word Reiki just was exactly what, you know, without knowing, we were looking for. That was the way we came at.
Isn't it amazing? This is so, this is such a common story with such an uncommon experience. You know, like people say, well, you know, I was just walking down the road and I looked in the store window and I saw the word Reiki and I knew that I had to do it because somehow that word connected me to something I didn't know anything about. So it's like an amazing experience. So what was it like for you sitting in the first class?
Well, it was a mixture of coming home, something something very new, and at the same time, something very old. It was like it was talking directly to a part of me that was waiting for this. So in that sense, it was like known. And at the same time, it was completely different to whatever. I wouldn't say completely. I had seen some shamanic sessions when I was a child, but this was, this had a quality that was different. So that was it, how it was. And I knew from that first class that that was what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but that was my feeling. This is my place, my work, my, not only a place of teaching, it was like the feeling that this was my place of learning.
Wow. So how did this take place? Can you tell us a bit more?
Well, I took first and second degree with Jürgen that year and the next, and then in 88, together with others of the first group, Reiki group, we went to Puerto Rico to meet you and start what we were thinking of being our first, the initial part of our becoming a master.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really true.
Right. Well, I remember that time. It was what we might call challenging, to say the least. And a really beautiful experience because for Paul and I, of course, we, you know, South America was way far away and kind of a very foreign country to us. So to be in Puerto Rico was kind of strange, although that was the first place that I went, of course, with my grandmother and heard about Reiki. So it was kind of a funny homecoming for me to be there. And then to meet all of you was also a very wonderful experience. But as I said, challenging.
Well, it was a challenge, I guess, for all of us. And at the same time, it was this knowing from the beginning that Reiki was a challenge, that Reiki was somehow a path to become a real master inside.
So
it was a good start.
And then you went home from that week. So I think it was a week then?
Yes, it was.
And then you practiced, and did you organize classes for Jürgen?
Well, yes, I did organize classes for Jürgen. I was actually doing organizational work at that time, and then it happened that he decided not to continue coming to South America because his own place in Germany was, you know, he was having, like, it was too difficult for him to keep traveling, so... another master who we had met and in Puerto Rico came to follow his to take his place, actually. Suggested by himself, it was his idea that Miriam, which is the name of this master, would become our next teacher. He said that it would be much easier because it was the same language.
Right, because he was speaking in German and you were somehow getting it in Spanish? You had an interpreter?
We had an interpreter, but he was using not German at that time. He was using English.
Because he was very fluent in English.
He was very fluent, but at the same time, he felt that Reiki would be better off if we would have it in our own language. So that's what happened at the beginning.
And then Miriam ended up moving to Chile, is that true?
She came to take over the classes for 1 month, and she stayed over 7 years.
Wow. And is she the master who initiated you then in Reiki?
Yes. She was the master with whom I took my master's degree. And it was, you know, she was, she had a quality in those days that was very precious to us, which was so clear about the system. She was so clear about what she was teaching that our feeling was that we had received a very sort of, I don't know how to say, clean. Or I don't know exactly which word to use, but it is something like that. Like she was very committed to Reiki.
And did you, when you were first taking Reiki, did you see it as what we might call a healing technique, or was it more of a therapy for you, or did it have already did it touch a sense of what you might call spirituality?
Well, I would say that maybe this might have something to do with our own background. It's being in connection with the spirit. It's part of our everyday living. So in a way, I think that Reiki, at least for me, I cannot speak for everyone, but I would say that it became very clear that it was something that came and touched my own spirit and connected me with something very deep inside. Which I recognize, you know. I mean, it was easy to feel that I was in a service place, that I was acting on behalf of, that it wasn't myself in a way doing things. And which is, I don't know. It's I'm having troubles at this moment with my words, but the feeling is that it was a system, a technique. No, it wasn't a technique. It was a place in where we could really become connected and giving us ourselves to the energy. Does it make sense what I'm saying?
I think so, yes. There's a word that is used sometimes, but it also has many connotations for many people, and that is the word surrender.
Well, and, I truly, truly connect with that word, yes.
Yeah, well, one of the things that happens, you know, with this word is that sometimes people consider it to be a giving up rather than a giving to. And I feel like, you know, in the English language I've been learning, that prepositions are very, very important words. So the difference between giving up and giving to something is enormous. Very enormous. So it's, I hear now, time for a station break. So with that question, we're going to take a station break and come back with Luz. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcasts each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
de este aprendizaje de inglés. Máxima calidad.
Nunca escucharás a alguien vendiendo educación en la calle, pero con programas familiares gratuitos sí puedes obtener la educación que necesitas. Llame al 1-877-326-5481 para información sobre programas gratuitos de educación familiar.
Mira, vengan aquí. Obtengo un mejor vocabulario en inglés garantizado.
El primer paso a una vida mejor. Un mensaje del National Center for Family Literacy y el Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And today on our show we have a woman who was in one of the first classes in South America, Luz Diaz, and I've known her for years, I guess since 1989, as far as I can tell. And we were just, what were we talking about, Luz?
We were talking about the feeling of Reiki as a spiritual path.
Oh, right. And go for it.
Well, I was thinking of that part of our teaching or our upbringing in our culture really has the spiritual part sort of present in our life. And I was wondering if that did or didn't make up some difference in the experience that we all have about Reiki. But from the feeling, from what you said, my feeling is that it is a common expression of the way Reiki works in our lives to become to have this feeling of closeness to the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what am I correct in my assumption that this is not only in our own culture, but it also goes for others?
Yes, I think that it seems that in some areas that, you know, people take Reiki more, I would say, for like a crisis that's happening in their life. So it could be that they are feeling lost, or it could be that they have a relative that has cancer, or it could be that they have emotional dissatisfaction with something going on in their life, and so they're reaching out for something, and they and we would say they're reaching out for healing. Mm-hmm. So they come to Reiki with a very specific purpose in mind, and then what happens is that as they start practicing and they start watching the changes that happen in their lives, this other area opens up for them, which of course happens, and there are two different perspectives perhaps I can talk to you about. But, you know, in this way, then, you know, people realize, oh, they're actually changing. Their priorities of life are changing. Their way that they feel connected inside is changing. And so it's changing the way that they are in their relationships. It's changing the way that they choose what they want to do, even to drinking wine or not drinking wine with meals and so on. So there's a place where the spiritual, I think, aspect of ourselves as human beings creeps in whether we like it or not. And and there's this other part where people say, but that is inherent in Reiki. But perhaps it's a bit of both, that, you know, Reiki, the energy of Reiki for me is spirit, and that touches me, and that allows me to touch my own spirit and vice versa. So I don't know how, and it sounds like in your experience that because of, I would imagine, the Catholic Church and the prevalence of holidays and so on that are around spiritual practice, that was very present in your life, so you didn't need to find it. What happened with Reiki is that somehow it gave it a different quality.
Yes, it gave clearly a different quality, and I would say also a different perspective.
Oh, what's that?
Let me try to explain, because for me it was also very important. It was like to be a good person had something static, something without movement. And when I became in contact with Reiki, I could see how my, as you mentioned before, how my own pattern of dealing with things in life was changing and was approaching a much more authentic part of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, yeah, go ahead.
So it was, before the connection was more prayer-wise, or through prayer. And all of a sudden was this opportunity or this incredible possibility of doing it through the feeling I had with Reiki, which was love. I'm talking too much, but my essential feeling of what being in contact with spirit and following the lead of the spirit in my own life changed.
Mm-hmm.
Before, because of the Catholic Church itself, I think it was much more sort of a doing right or wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And here it became of being more truth to myself.
Uh-huh. So did you end up wondering then if you were becoming a bad girl?
No.
I didn't know if these things were compatible or if you felt at some point that they became incompatible and that was a major conflict for you. I mean, I have heard that actually with some students, that they realize that, they're taught socially never to say something, to someone that might hurt them. But at the same time, with Reiki, they find that they're becoming more and more honest in their relationships and end up saying things that they later go, how could I say that? That was really rude, or that was really not socially acceptable. And so they have this conflict of what Reiki is opening them up to, and at the same time, their social etiquette, or perhaps even their spiritual etiquette, has deemed as not appropriate. So I'm wondering if that ever happened to you.
Well, no, you're talking of what I'm trying to say is that when I touched this, it was the feeling that what I have thought as a child, the spiritual path thought was, it was being confirmed.
Uh-huh.
So for me it was great. It was really great to be able to feel the way I felt inside and stop being guilty about it and express it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Is it more clear?
Yeah, totally clear. So go ahead.
Well, what I mean is that there is no fight inside of me about my own personal religion and the practice of Reiki. They are not against one another. On the contrary, it has really truly helped me being a much better person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, have you found in your teaching in South America, and you go and teach in many countries, is that true?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you find that the Catholic Church is very prevalent there?
Yes, very. It's a very, very strong, especially in this country, in Chile.
Mm-hmm. And wondering if there are ever students who do seem to have a conflict between the church's doctrines and practice and Reiki. Does that ever come up for people?
Actually, it does. From time to time, you see people that enter in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful process to see, and sometimes it's also very painful.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that for many of them, it means not that they abandon Reiki. Some people decide to stop. Both possibilities are there. But in general, I would say that the people that came to Reiki stay through all the process that it meant to go deep inside of them and recapture something.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And eventually come to a peaceful place where
yes.
both practices can reside within their own lives.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very difficult to practice Reiki, seeing all the benefits that come, and don't feel that there is a wonderful, loving energy and being behind.
Uh-huh.
There's so much, you know, even if you're dying, you can see a person go to that place of peace and healing with the family, and so that to let go with so much ease, and even if it's in between a very painful disease or something. And that quality, it's for me what, at least from my understanding, all the message had to do about. But we're going into a very deep conversation in terms of the getting together, which actually it's to really be realize that there is only one conscious, and you have to live with that.
And to live with what were you going to say?
That we have to live up, come to live to a place in which that is comfortable.
Ah,
it's at ease. It's and I think Reiki is a wonderful instrument for that.
Great. Well, it's a good place to stop. We're going to take a station break now. And this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Luz Diaz from Chile. We'll be back.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Tune in to InnerSpeak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. InnerSpeak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the 7th Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
My husband, he works two jobs. He's working real, real hard.
Barbara and Alfonso Palais lived in a neighborhood where there was crime and drugs.
The people next door They're using drugs, so we are scared.
They were living in a dangerous situation. They needed to move into a new environment.
Habitat for Humanity is helping the Palazes build a simple, decent, affordable home for their family. And they will buy it with a no-profit, zero-interest mortgage.
We decided to apply for a house.
This home is their hope, their security, and their life.
Barbara and Alfonso can now raise the children in the safety of their new home.
To build your own home is something real.
I'm so happy because I can take care of my family.
I want to get a house, a real house.
Habitat for Humanity. Building homes, changing lives. Support the work in your community. Visit Habitat.org.
Our dreams come true and we got a home. So, thanks, Habitat.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a price war among the major term life carriers. Consider these possible rates. A man age 45, non-tobacco user, could obtain $1 million of coverage for as little as $75 a month, and this rate is fixed for the next 10 years. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. A man age 50, non-tobacco user, may be able to obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $115 per month, and this rate is fixed for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed not to change for 20 years. We have great rates for smokers too. For new or replacement term life insurance, call the Term Lifeline now. 800-890-5075. 800-890-5075. That's 800-890-5075.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And Luz Diaz is with us from Chile. We were just speaking about the students that she's taught and has come in contact with in South America and their relationship with their own established religion, which is the Catholic Church most often, and Reiki, and how that has sometimes created questions, and how these questions have gone through a process and ended up in peaceful coexistence. Would that be correct, Luz?
Yes, that's exactly what I've seen in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
Recognizing also, yes, that some people have it rough.
Uh-huh.
No?
And what do you think, what's your opinion about why it becomes rough for them?
Well, because I would say that, you know, when you're talking about the values or the way you were taught as a child, to change sometimes is very difficult. And as you said before, sometimes it's not a problem with the faith in specifically. It's more with the way things are dealt with in the church.
Uh-huh.
But that's the way it goes, and for some people they have been able to go over and to see a more wider picture,
uh-huh,
in which they can connect both things at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And some have not been able, or have been definitely very judged by, let's say, the priest or whoever is acting as their guide at that
mm-hmm.
moment.
Uh-huh. What I find really fascinating is that I don't know if you've any clergy have come to you to become Reiki students, but certainly in other places there have been priests and nuns and other people who are active in the church and in the actual holding of the doctrine of the Catholic Church who have taken Reiki and really loved it. And then there are others who really are not supportive, is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And I just see that we all each have our own... Still, even at that point, it's an individual choice, not a church choice.
Well, I think that's exactly to what I was talking about, because many I have, even a bishop that is to first and second degree. I have a priest in Buenos Aires who is he's preparing himself to become a master. He's going to. He feels that Reiki is part of the way he can really help his community, the community where he's where, and he has been very much accepted by his own bishop. So there is this, you know, back and forth thing going in terms of what is it that you can or cannot do, and it's really up to the person. So yes, I do agree that for some people have come to that place in which they have you know, some nuns and priests and have decided to learn Reiki, seeing it as a wonderful media, as a wonderful art to help other people, especially because they are working in the as priests and as nuns and in schools and all in that sort of thing. So,
And they obviously don't feel like it compromises their loyalty or vows to the church.
No, no, not at all.
And have you ever had any conversations with someone who feels like it's very compromising?
Yes. I've had long, very long discussions with some of my friends who, you know, when I started first to practice Reiki, this ended up being like a topic among us. Because, that is true.
Yeah, no, I get it. That was just that the word topic just had so much energy.
It kept coming, you know, over and over.
Yeah.
And it was mainly that thing of how can I be a good Catholic? I'm talking about the Catholic Church, which is the one I know. And at the same time, dealing with things that somehow you could consider, you know, all of that, and then realize, you know, receiving Reiki for them, it was like showing how different their idea of Reiki was to what Reiki really was, and at the same time they could not take it, which was you know, really an amazing experience to see someone who saw that this art was helpful, that he could really be helped through it, and could not overcome that sense of being a traitor.
Fascinating. And so my grandmother used to say in her lectures that Reiki was God power. Lots of people describe Reiki as unconditional love. I'm wondering, do you in your classes and so on, do you mention the word God? I had a criticism at one point in my teaching of students that I didn't use the word God at all, and that was something that I was afraid of, and that I didn't want to, you know, create ripples, which I think as a beginning master, certainly, that probably was an unconscious thing for me, but it definitely had nothing to do with my grandmother's. She was very out there. And whatever God meant to her, I mean, it's too bad I can't interview her, right?
Yeah, it would be great.
But for me, God is has changed from this man in Michelangelo's painting of this guy sitting on a cloud with a long flowing beard to something that's much, much more genderless and much more like it's not enclosed. God is not for me in a human body anymore, which is probably a good step for me because it allows me then to understand more of the workings of God, not in a polarized manner like right and wrong, but in more of a of seeing the world as a major miracle, even things that I really don't like and don't understand.
Well, so, yes, what you are talking about is this feeling that this energy of love through Reiki, through our hands, to ourselves and to others, is getting the best out of each one. And that cannot be against anything.
Uh-huh.
On the contrary, it really goes with the flow of growing to be a better person.
Uh-huh.
So from that point of view, for me, that's what the religion was all about. So for me, it's the energy of God. I mention God in my classes, and I mention it, you know, without any fear or with any... I mean, I think it's right to mention him. Actually, he's present all of our life. Why shouldn't we mention and talk about him? That's the way I feel.
Uh-huh.
And most of the students like that.
Uh-huh.
Like the freedom to express the way they feel God is related to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow, this is fascinating. And I'm just wondering, I know that you also teach in Brazil. And Brazil is a different language group. It's more Portuguese.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just wondering if they have if each of the countries has a different sort of quality about this question, which is a very big one up in the Reiki community today about Reiki and spirituality, and is this a spiritual path, and do we consider this to be a spiritual practice, and are Reiki treatments a part of a spiritual practice? Are they an expression of a spiritual practice, like praying or saying the rosary or meditating or whatever? So I'm just wondering, you said that Chile was much more Catholic than the other countries that you teach in. I'm just wondering if there are qualities that you might be able to express.
Well, you know, Brazil is one of the most incredible countries in that sense, because they have a capacity to be so open-minded in many places.
Uh-huh.
Like, it can go to extremes, but they are very open in relationship to whatever has to do with spirit.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So Reiki for them became a very important part, a very welcome part in their life. And they truly receive it from that place.
Uh-huh.
You know, for me, it's really amazing.
Uh-huh.
To see the quality of commitment that they have.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you were talking about the differences, for me, the discovery that I made when I first started teaching Reiki in Brazil was this quality of openness that they had.
Uh-huh.
Which was fascinating.
Uh-huh. And that doesn't mean that they're not as religious. They just have a different perspective of the whole.
They are very religious people. Very. They have
a way of looking, a way of living within spirituality that is incredible to see. That sometimes it reminds you of Eastern cultures.
Great. Well, we'll come back to Brazil and our last segment of the show, Luz. But right now we're going to go to a station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelled a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org, and from energyhog.org she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy, and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today we have Luz Diaz from Chile, and she teaches in quite a few countries in South America. Can you name the countries that you've taught in, Luz,
sure,
just for informational sake?
I have taught I teach in Chile, Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay, Venezuela, Peru, Bolivia, and Mexico. But some of those countries I have touched occasionally. The ones I visit all the time are Brazil and Argentina and Mexico.
I didn't know you taught in Mexico.
I did.
Well, there you go. But not Central America. That's interesting.
No.
No?
No.
Yeah, interesting. You know, last week we had Inger Drogon, and she's just moved from the Netherlands to Costa Rica. And she's just starting her Reiki practice now. And if it's anything like she had in the Netherlands, Central America will be on the map very soon. I know there's lots of Reiki down there now, but you know, we don't hear of people teaching there except for passing through. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
It would be great.
Yeah.
I have several friends living in different countries, Costa Rica, in Costa Rica, in Guatemala, in Nicaragua. So it would be great for, you know, to know that this branch or this line of Reiki also goes up to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, up for me, down for you.
Yeah. So we were talking about Brazil, and I know that I just have this one image of Brazil when I was there, which I really love. And I was in Rio, and on the beach in Rio, and they were describing this wonderful ritual that they do where everyone dresses in white. They float something on the water. Is this for New Year's or March?
It is. It's done for New Year's. I have never been present at
but
the time.
But it sounded so beautiful.
Well, imagine.
And they send sort of prayers and honor the goddess, or and probably all my Brazilian friends are probably going, oh my gosh. She gets straight at some point. So there'll be somebody on from Brazil and they can talk about this directly. But
I think it's much better.
But it just gave me a feeling of their openness. Like they're just, you know, standing with their arms open and really in touch with spirit in a way. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
So, in your life, Luce, what would you say that Reiki has brought to you?
Ooh, it has brought me many, many things. First, it was this feeling of coming to me, coming to a place in which, coming to my senses, it's a way, and discovering what the gift I had and what I could do with it in my life for myself and other people. It has, you know, like I've learned about other cultures. I even learned Portuguese to be able to teach in Brazil. So my feeling is that it has somehow opened my mind in many places. It made me discover other people also with a much open mind than I did before.
Beautiful.
And there is this feeling of, you know, like profound respect, profound yes, it's respect. It's like discovering something very near your own heart. That's mostly what I can do. But I have, in the meantime, being a, you know that because I've done it for you, like I've learned to be an interpreter, to be of service to the community. So it has, like, opened also my... let me discover my gift to give to the community.
So, you know, as an interpreter, it seems that there's a lot of things that happen through this service, you might call it. And I don't know if there's words for it. It's kind of funny since we're talking about interpretation, but I'm just wondering. We, you know, sometimes people describe it as a part of their spiritual practice, like giving treatments. They give treatments, they treat themselves, and they interpret. And it seems like they're sort of on this, on par with each other. Would you say that was true, or do you think that that's just a romantic idea?
No, I would definitely say that it's true, because when you are interpreter for someone, you're really an instrument of that person at that particular time for... to communicate the idea. So it's like being in the same place of Reiki, letting the voice of other one come through you and be heard.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. Great. So sorry. I got lost in my own memory. Sometimes I do that. I think about all the times where we've, it's been interesting for those listeners who haven't been, had the privilege of sitting in a session that's been interpreted. One of the things that I've done is to gather interpreters from different languages and have discussions about what is the word that we use for spiritual, what is the word we use for lineage, what is the word that we use for I don't know, what are some of the other words that we have had great discussion about? Commitment is one of them.
Well, commitment is a very difficult word to translate, to really give it the meaning of the way you use it.
Yeah.
You talk about it.
Yeah. So in this, we have all discovered a deeper sense of what we are talking about, what we mean, and where we are going in our lives with Reiki.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, Luce, we're at the end of our show. It's just unbelievable how fast the time goes.
Really?
Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us this week.
Oh, thank you for letting me have this opportunity to communicate with the rest of the world too, and I hope it's a great success.
Oh,
thank you.
I'm sure that it has been. Thank you.
Thank you.
And this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back next week. Join us.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.